evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. We are going to be having a great show tonight. We're going to be talking about spirit recovery. And we are live on Sedona Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, and also we are archive linked on iTunes. So a lot of our listeners from Sedona just love to talk about these topics because it really, it's what they're vested in. It's what they talk about. It's what they learn. It's what they preach and what they teach. But it's also how they help others. So spirit recovery, what is really spirit recovery all about? My guest this evening is Lee McCormick. His book is called Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag, a transformational guide for living happy, joyous, and free. He's also the founder of the Ranch Recovery Center in Tennessee and the Canyon Treatment Center in California, but he's also the co-founder of Nashville's Integrative Life Center. So, Lee, thank you so much for being our guest this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, you bet. It's great to be connected.
Great. Thank you so much. You know, this is, I think, a timely topic, this spirit recovery, people hitting the wall. So many people right now are feeling stuck, or they're feeling that the life they're leading just is not what they want to be leading. I mean, there's a lot of issues going on with addictions, depression, a lot of drugs, a lot of different things going on in life. It just almost feels like all of a sudden everything just got thrown up in the air, and everybody's just standing there going, what happened? Do you feel that energy?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, my journey with what I just call waking up began, 18 years ago now. So, of course, I've been looking at what you just described for a long time. It seems like the frequency's being cranked up. So everything's getting pushed on. You know, and a lot of our old, I think, accepted solutions and, you know, what we considered good enough when it came to healing or transformation or a life change, what we considered good enough for a long time is starting to be questioned also, you know. So it's I think it's all symptoms of a paradigm shift of sorts.
Yeah, it sure seems like it, because you can look at people and think that they have it all together, and then all of a sudden their life is just crumbling and falling apart, and you're going, wait a minute, I don't understand that, you know, and then you turn around and you compare it to your own life and you say, well, mine's not any better. So we really don't want to be in comparison and judgment in this life, but we do know for sure we're not alone, which a lot of people in depression or in addictions or, you know, really having their life fall apart, do feel alone.
Sure. Yeah, you do. And, you know, that in itself is, I believe, one of the telltale signs of the assumption-based reality. I just kind of made that one up. You know, it's like we have inherited, not like, but we have inherited a point of view. Each of us inherits a point of view, a belief system. We inherit the legacy of our family and our culture, our community, our neighborhood, our people. We inherit all these filters and all these perceptions and all these beliefs. And we, as kids, I think we question things quite a bit as young people. And over time, for the most part, it seems like we just kind of give up. You know, and you join the club, and you fall in line more or less, in varying degrees, with expectations and with fitting in, and we're taught that fitting in is the way to happiness. Being a happy, productive member of society is the way to happiness. And you know, we're finding out a lot of these previously accepted standards for life and for expression and for authenticity just don't really cut it.
Don't you think that that's the path that history has taken recently? I know you're probably in my age group. I'm almost 60, but are you or not? I hope.
Oh no, I'm 2 years behind you. I'm right around the corner.
Okay. But what we find, too, is that I think it's really about history, because when you and I, you know, in the 60s and 70s, that was not – it kind of was an option for some of the people who were, well, as we would call hippies, but even they got burnt out and went and followed and conformed and did what they did, you know. So, but I think now it's – even you'll see younger kids or I have four kids and they're all in their 20s and 30s, and their life is so completely – 360 of my life, it's just, it's incredible that, you know, what they're, how they act, how they see things, how they view life is so totally different.
Well, it is. You know, the only thing I know for sure is what I've experienced. And I have spent the last 16, 17 years working with people, you know, in varying capacities in different settings, from treatment center, from treatment programs to, you know, to native ceremony, to leading journeys to Teotihuacan, Mexico, and spending time in Peru. And so I've lived a lot of different type experiences. And the one thing that's held true for me in all of this array of experience is that there is, honestly, an innate, connected, conscious awareness, a presence within each of us. And to connect to that and live from that place and really kind of evolve into being completely comfortable in our own skin and in the right here, right now, that reconnection, that's what I call spirit recovery. It's just a reconnection to who we really are. And it's a letting go of all the things that we've tried to be in order to be good enough, in order to fit in order to be quote-unquote successful. You know, spirit recovery is just a return to the truth of who we really are. And that's all we ever were in the first place, you know, despite the roles that we take on and the identities and the stories and all that stuff that we attach to and associate with and wear around. And, you know, it's not unlike that the quote from Shakespeare that, you know, all the world's a stage and we're all just players. That's really more accurate, I think, than a lot of our cultural points of view today. And we inherit that stuff and we take it on and then we just run with it. And there's one of the blessings, I guess, of, you know, being in your 40s or your 50s or your 60s, mm-hmm. is that there's, you know, we can question things, and for me anyway, there's no pressure for society's point of view to need to be right anymore. I don't need it to be right, and I don't need to make it wrong. I can look at a situation, and I think this is something that if we taught this to our children, it would have a profound impact on the quality of life in this world, is that, mm-hmm. you know, none of the beliefs are absolutely true, none of them. And none of the rights are absolutely right. None of the wrongs are absolutely wrong. And this whole way of approaching and living life from a basis of black and white and judgment and fear and the need to be right and needing validation and all of that stuff, it's just kind of run its course from my point of view. And even in the recovery world, you know, recovery, yeah. traditional recovery has in a lot of ways been a very black and white process. And you know, consequently, the quote-unquote success rate in recovery is very poor. It's, you know, less than 20%. Well, when you have a process that claims to be so powerful and great, and yet it's only effective for 20 or 25 or even 30% of the people, you're missing something. Mm-hmm. You know, and as someone who's worked in the business, who's created treatment programs, who's, you know, made a living working in that business, it was not okay with me that we were only reaching 30% of the people. I felt like we, being the people in the business, being the people that called themselves in recovery or recovered or in the rooms in the 12-step world, we have a responsibility to question and go beyond what we might otherwise just accept as good enough. And then once you've accepted something as good enough, then you can demand that those that are that are behind you in line that are looking for help, that they either conform to your beliefs and your point of view, or they're not good enough, or they don't want it, or they're too sick. And it's just become a big, it's just become a big mess. And so, you know, the opportunity is to just keep questioning and asking and paying attention and listening and being a witness and not getting stuck on the right, wrong, good, bad dysfunction.
And I am not a stranger to the addiction rollout. We have generations and generations of alcohol and drugs in our family. And I can see from varying different platforms, someone who has totally stopped drinking and what we would call an angry dry alcoholic, or another one who's has sanctioned himself and put himself in a very remote area of the world so that not to be tempted, and to have a family member who is ruling over, you know, with the iron gun, you know, but that you don't drink. Or still another who is still trying to search out happiness and, you know, has run through the gamut of running through all of their friends, all their family, and is now at the last end and not knowing what else to do. And
yeah.
Really, when you ask and you say, what is it? Some of the older ones, you know, they'll still say, it just had a hold over me and it messed with me, or, and it still does. Like, it has the power, you know, the bottle has the power. But then if you speak to some of the younger alcoholics who are really trying to find something different, they're like, I just want to be happy. And I have heard that word from family members. I would say, what are you really looking for? And they said, I just want to get up and be happy and enjoy my life each day.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Why can't I find that? Or why is that so hard? And then, you know, and then unfortunately, some of these younger ones end up in the company of some of the older ones who have, quote, succeeded in banning the bottle or whatever, and they're going to take them, you know, under their thumb and tell them how to do it. And what happens is then that, you know, as we have said, you know, you're going to follow my path, and that's the path, and that's the only way. And it really, across the board, spirit vacated every single one of those beings. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, I have generations and generations where I would say almost 90% or more of the males have vacated spirit. And that
mm-hmm.
is a profound thing to look back on.
Well, and that in itself becomes a legacy. You know,
yeah.
It becomes an energetic legacy that's passed on from generation to generation. And these legacies, if you're familiar with epigenetics and, Bruce Lipton's a very outspoken deliverer of the message and the awareness around epigenetics. And so we do pass on the energetic legacies of our experience. It is in our blood. It is in our DNA. And it's inherited from one generation to the next. And, you know, the journey of what I call spirit recovery, it will be unique for each individual, because it truly is a return to and a process of self-discovery again as an adult or as an adolescent or as a, you know, a teenager. At whatever point it is that you find yourself in that crossroads of life where you're saying, okay, wait a minute, you know, I don't want to keep doing what I've been doing. I want my life to be different. And I don't have a clue how it can be different. And that's really the way, for most people, it comes about. You know, I had no idea at 40 years old how my life could be different from what I had experienced up until that point. And I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was so, as they say in the 12-step rooms, I was so over the life that I've been living. And I honestly had no clue how it could look any different. And that's very daunting. You know, and so to me, this healing journey, this awakening journey, this recovery journey, it's truly the evolution of one individual's life, one individual's legacy, one individual's reality. And as we evolve and let go of, do the work, you have to do the work. You know, that's one of the things that I've watched in the, I guess, the self-help world, and the, you know, four ways to this and seven ways to that, and and The Secret and all of these well-meaning, you know, do these things and you can just fix yourself kind of point of view stuff that sold millions of copies of books, and yet, you know, there's not a whole lot of enlightened, truly happy, joyous, and free people running around out there. But The thing that I've seen is that you do have to get in there and do the dirty work. You've got to unravel the legacy of your own beliefs, your points of view, your judgments, your opinion. And as Don Miguel Ruiz has said over and over again, I spent several years working with Miguel, you have to go back and address the foundational agreements that you're holding, agreements that you've made with yourself, that I made with myself, about me and who I am and about life and what life is and about the world that I live in and all those expectations and judgments and opinions that frame my perspective and point of view on reality. And that's a big, daunting task. And honestly, it's more than most people are interested in taking on. You know, most people just, they want to stop hurting. They want to stop suffering. They want their life to be better. And they'll work at it long enough to get some semblance of comfort or some break from the suffering. And then we just want to stop and we want to set up camp and live in that space. And that doesn't work, because once you've broken out of the paradigm of kind of a domestication, the way you were programmed as a child to live, once we've broken out of that paradigm, I don't see many people who then can successfully settle really long-term for anything less than continuing to pursue the authenticity that dwells within each one of us. It's kind of like God set us in motion, whatever created us set us in motion, and there's a reason for our being in this world. And it's not something that we need to find in the world. It's something that we connect to within ourselves, and then we learn to express and live our life from that place of authenticity. And it's a complete paradigm shift from the outside-in cultural point of view that the United States operates from, that the Western mind operates from. It's tricky, and it's interesting, you know. And again, I'll say it again, I believe it really is a paradigm shift, because, you know, none of us have ever not been good enough. I believe that. I've lived that. I've seen that 100%. We have never not been good enough, but we have certainly lived the experience of believing 100% that we were not good enough. And when we hold a belief, we humans are very powerful. When we hold a belief and hold on to it with all our faith, we're going to experience the energy that belief is carrying. And we're going to go to any length in order to make that belief right. So we'll seek out information and experiences to back that belief up so that we can be right. You know, and we put ourselves through all kinds of hell trying to demand that what I have decided to believe has to be the truth, regardless of how much suffering or fear or anxiety or frustration it may bring into my life. We are terrified of being wrong. And being wrong is no big deal. Who cares? You know?
Yeah. And it's so difficult sometimes when you're within a family, or as I would call it, within a tribe, you know, a group of people that you function day to day with, when you start to say there has to be something different and you want to look outside of that, but yet your habits and your energy is just at the same level as they. Everything, it just seems to be resonating like stewing in a pot. But if you want to say, hey, I want to boil and I'm going to splash out of the pot, it's like, how dare you? We're going to put a top on it. And that's really what a lot of people, you know, they end up getting better, maybe with one addiction as they would claim it, and then they turn around and feel comfortable, but then they still know nothing's right, and then they turn around and it's another addiction because they really have not come to themselves. They were still looking outside and still looking for that confirmation or that agreement or whatever from everybody and everything around them.
Well, and again, that's what we grew up seeing as what we call normal. You know, as kids, we take on the energy and the beliefs of the world that we were born into. And we assimilate all that into our consciousness. We are downloaded with it, and we carry it energetically. And to break out of that, when that is the prevailing point of view and the prevailing energetic of the world that you're living in, to break out of that and move beyond that, it's a huge challenge. You know, and we can't do it, excuse me, at least in my experience, there's no way to move beyond the weight and the heavy energy and the limitations that a fear-based perception of reality puts on us, or that we put on ourselves through that fear-based perception of reality. There's no way to move away from it or out from under it through judgment. You know, my transformation, my life changing, my waking up process, it happened as a result of me just relaxing into it. And it took me 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years to realize that the only way that I could move through beyond where I was at was by relaxing into it and just accepting it all, and then learning to make choices from a heart and soul place rather than making choices from my old original way of choosing, which was choosing either from ego or from fear or from envy or from the need of validation. Validation is a powerful poison. You know, that need for validation really sabotages the opportunities to live a truly authentic life. And God, there's just so many messages. I mean, I go on and on about this. But, you know, so often we're taught as kids that if we love and respect our parents, if we love and respect the authority figures in our life, whether it's religious or whether it's, you know, an educational institution or whatever it is that we're working toward, and there's guidance and there's leadership there, that if we love and respect that guidance and that leadership, then we respect their rules and their beliefs and we don't question them. Or if we question them, when we get an answer, we respect the answer and we have to accept the answer. You know, and almost everybody that I've ever worked with, I could say, you know, think back through your childhood. Think back through your teenage years when you were accepting so many things as the truth, as the way things are. You still inside on a gut level knew that this was not quite right. You knew it. But there was not a process or a way to deal with that, I guess you could say, intuitive knowing that, you know, this wasn't the whole story. It's not the absolute truth. It's not actually the way it is. But we don't have options for dealing with that. So we compromise, and we do the best we can, and then we forget that we didn't really believe it in the first place. And we mm-hmm. start living as though we did, and then we're literally acting out a role in life, and it's not authentic. Then we wonder why we develop, then we wonder why we need to medicate. Well, of course mm-hmm. you need to medicate. You're living a phony life. You're faking it. And you fake it until it falls apart. And so all of these issues, and not all of them, but the majority of issues and diagnoses that we work with in the mental health recovery treatment business, the majority of them are self-inflicted. They're inherited. They're the passing on and inheritance of that legacy that's largely just simply not the truth. And we've been trying to make it work, and it didn't, and it doesn't. And you look around in the world today, well, it's pretty obvious that the direction and the foundational beliefs and agreements that we humans are holding in this world today are clearly not the truth, and they're clearly not working. And yet, we'd rather go to war and kill each other over who's got the right God or who owns the biggest house and who can amass the greatest wealth. We'd rather kill each other over that stuff than we would stop and just say, you know, what the hell, y'all? What's going on? What are we doing here? Really?
And it doesn't always – we're not always talking about addictions either. This can just be any type of what you've inherited, what your legacy could be. It could be almost anything. So this really goes for almost everyone, this topic that we're talking about this evening, which is spirit recovery, because so many people right now are just finding – that it their life just isn't working and they don't know what else to do. I mean, I get letters all the time. People are saying, I'm stuck. They can be intuitives. They can be physicians. They can be healers. They could be CEOs. I hear it all the time. I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. I'm just stuck. So I'm sure you've had some wonderful experience with potentially giving a few ideas on what is the first step when someone says, I am stuck. I am like glue plastered to the floor, and I'm just not seeing a light.
Well, there's no way to change anything without getting up and moving your feet. You got to do something. If you want to live something different, you got to do something different. You know, and so for me, and what I realize and what I do tell people is that I can pretty much guarantee you you're going to have to get out of what you call your comfort zone. You know, it's kind of funny because what you just described is what most people would also refer to as their comfort zone. So if you present them with, you know, you can say, well, we're going to do an all-night drumming, dreaming ceremony up on the mountain. And, you know, come to the ceremony and just see what happens, no expectation. And, you know, you say that to someone who's never been a part of any kind of ceremony before in their life, and it doesn't fit in any of their past experience. So, of course, they'll say, oh, you know what, that's just not for me. And at the same time, they'll say, but you know what, I'm really stuck in my life's not working for me, and I want to do something different. But no, I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've watched this over the years, that we will say, you know, we'll say our prayers. We'll cry out to the universe or to whatever and say, man, I just want my life to be different. Please help me find a way to find some peace and satisfaction or whatever. Mm-hmm. We'll say it out loud, and then the universe will respond. Life responds, and an opportunity will come along to go actually do something different or to participate in something different. And the first thing we do is push back against it because it's not something that we're familiar with. So, you know, that first step and that willingness and that awareness to step out of what we call our comfort zone, that's not actually comfortable at all, it's just familiar, that's really the key, you know. And then you have to take the next step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And you may have to try 10 different flavors of new experiences, and then something will resonate with you. You know, in my book, in the Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag book, the first half of the book is my story. And I talk about exactly this, being invited to my first sweat lodge when I had no idea what that was about. But I had been saying to God for 2 years, you know, help me find something. There's something missing. I don't know what it is. So, you know, help me. So, and I didn't realize it at the time, but I had all kinds of invitations extended to me, and I said no to them for the first year and a half. And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting all kinds of responses here, and I'm just not participating. So I started saying yes to anything that, you know, on a gut level, I would know that I should go try this, but my mind was continuously trying to defend what it considered normal or what it considered familiar. So there's a big contrast and conflict that develops in most people between what the mind is interested in doing and where the mind is interested in going, and what the heart and the soul is knowing might possibly hold something for us. You know, I don't believe there is such a thing as an answer or the answer. I don't buy that at all. The answer is life. The answer is living happy, joyous, and free. The answer is being engaged and open and just going for it. That's the answer. You know, and again, our culture tells us that if we'll develop the correct system of these six things, then that will lead us to happiness. Well, that's marketing. That's not happiness.
I think so many times you know, myself, you know, being an alternative medicine physician, they come to me all the time, and my doctor can't fix me, you're my last hope, and here's my last $100. And, you know, you just better do it because I'm sitting here waiting. And you're going, okay, so you give them, you know, you work with them the best you can, and they'll come back and say, but, you know, I don't want to do that. I've done that before. This didn't work in the past, and maybe I'll think about this, but if I buy this today, I won't have money for supper, so I'm not going to get it. So really, what are you asking for? And a lot of times, you're just asking that what you're saying is that you got judgment, you know, terrible judgment that says that whatever's coming to me is not good enough for me. It still isn't good enough to be able to make any change in myself, and I'm going to resist it at all costs because it's not going to enter, and because I'm not ready to be healed, or I'm not ready to be better, or I'm not ready to make a change. I'm just seeking out those pathways because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Well, we're living from the program that we were downloaded with. You know, we're living from the point of view that we've seen mirrored for us our whole life, and that is that if I have a problem, the way to find a solution is to go to an expert, and the expert will then be responsible for my solution. The expert has to give me the answer, or that the doctor has to give me the pill. And, you know, for me, that way of being is based in the fact that we abandon ourselves as children, and we abandon faith in ourselves at the direction of, again, of this world that we were born into. And we've been taught that we're not good enough unless we're living up to the expectations of the adults, you know, in whatever roles they may be in, that we're only as good as we are successful or pretty or smart or, you know, you name it. We're only as good as the number of initials behind our name. And we're taught that. The world functions on that basis. And once you've abandoned faith in yourself and you have projected that faith onto the physical world and the material world, and you start chasing and trying to make the external world responsible for our internal peace of mind and our internal connection, it's a never-ending chase. It's never-ending. You know, so the real gift for me in doing the work that I've done in the recovery world and you know, on the journeys and all the things that I've done in the spirit recovery work, the real gift in that is to support people in realizing that, you know what, you were created good enough from the get-go. You've never not been good enough. You just have given up all faith in yourself for the sake of fitting in. And so the work is not to become somebody different or to become somebody better. The work is to come back into a deep, abiding relationship with the truth of who you really are and to reclaim respect for yourself from all the ways you've been taught otherwise.
And that is surely something so revolutionary different that people will just, even when you talk sometimes, it takes some couple times around the circus to be able to figure out of what you're saying, to understand even the words you are talking about. But eventually those that are ready will get it. Those that aren't will hear the words, and I think eventually they will also get there too. So we're not always making sure, I mean, saying that, you know, you're going to say this today and everybody's click, I'm going to get an aha moment tonight, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm good to go. That's not at all what we're saying, because this is really a life process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, we're unraveling a lifetime of energy when we start working on ourselves, sincerely working on. We're actually, you know, through the epigenetic awareness, we're actually unraveling generational energetics.
Right.
And you know, as a doctor, you know what it's like when you can probably look at a patient, I can look at a person, and you can kind of tell, are they really interested in taking 100% responsibility for their life or not? Because if they're not, you can't help them. Not really.
Correct.
We can address symptoms. You know, you can address symptoms with someone like that, but you can't really help them in the source of their suffering because they don't have the willingness or the interest or the whatever it is. There's something disconnected so profoundly deep that they really will not consider taking 100% responsibility for themselves. They want some expert to do it for them or some book to do it for them. And you see that in the self-help world. You know, back in the 90s, people would jump from one process to the next. They do a process for 6 months or a year or 3 years, and then they jump to another process or another book or the next diet. It's just like diets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever you get close to doing the real dirty work and unraveling the deepest, the deepest, darkest agreements and secrets that you're carrying, when you get down into that territory, it gets real. And a lot of people will bail when they get there, and they won't, they don't develop the staying power to sit through the discomfort aspect of reclaiming ourselves.
You know, and the listeners, I have said this on previous shows, it has just been also my process, because when you go to medical school, you know, you learn all these things, and I would question and say, okay, I got it. You just kind of put it all in there, let it all go in. And then I'd say, but this isn't really it. There's really something more. So, you know, I live in New Orleans. We had Hurricane Katrina. You know, let's keep taking away things until we come down to the core. And I spent the last 10 years just sitting in the core, sitting at the base, sitting at the bottom, figuring out exactly what it is and where do you go from here. And deciding that, you know, natural medicine is wonderful. But if, as you said, if you're not ready to heal, that's it. And then I started working with end-of-life clients. And what I found out was the real gift in end-of-life. It's that so many people, they're so afraid to die. They'll say, that's their famous word, I'm afraid to die. And then when you really ask them, what are you really afraid of? And it's not that they didn't, you know, have five pizzas last week and they didn't have a wedding dress and, you know, their car might need, they just bought a new car and they're worried about who's going to pay for it and everything. What they're really worried about is that, will someone be able to go on without me? Did I not care for my children and let them know enough how much I love them? Those things were more important. And really, that's where the core of your work is. And if you can get anyone to understand, why wait till we're in that last position of I'm going to die to be able to do what fulfills you most in life? You know, try to bring forward a couple, you know, as even if you can only have 2 weeks, that's fabulous. I've got 2 weeks. You know, I've worked with clients before. We only had 2 weeks. And, you know, from ICU to the home in 20 minutes, it was celebrate your life, celebrate you as a person. And that's really what these people were really looking for, is that they just wanted to know that they were loved, that they were cared for, and that if we can just try to tell people that earlier, that's what healthcare is, not what the healthcare MDs are now. When you go, you know, MDs are going to have this new checklist that if they're going to be paid based on customer satisfaction. Are you kidding me? Is that because they're going to give out lollipops at the end and my doctor looked at me for a minute? I mean, we are so skewed as a country right now.
Well, we are. And, you know, humanity is just a mess. the only issues on planet Earth are in the minds of the humans and the actions that we take as a result of the insanity of our ways of thinking, you know. And it is interesting, and it's interesting that the death process and what you brought up, because in the recovery work and in the spirit recovery work that we do, honestly, there is a death process to a person who steps into a self-discovery recovery journey. Because you are literally, if you do this really ruthlessly and you do it fully and completely, you are dying to the reality and the identity and the roles that you had been living so enmeshed in. And as you unravel the layers and as you question and you look in that mirror and as you do the work, you know, with a therapist or with a shaman or whoever it is that you're with a group of people in a community, as you're doing that work and you begin to let go of those energies, and that's something that in our Western culture is not acknowledged, how important it is. If you've done a piece of work, like a piece of trauma work on something that happened to you as a child, when you go through that work and step back into that energy and all that emotion, the most important piece of that work is the realization at the end that you have to let that energy go. And you have to let the story that you've been telling based on that experience go. See, we have to clean ourselves if we're really going to move beyond the limitations of living a life based in judgment and fear. We have to let that stuff go, and then we have to really be vigilant with ourselves to stop feeding those old patterns and those old thoughts and those old beliefs and those old behaviors. They're going to still come up.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff doesn't just stop, not after, 10, 15, 20, 30 years of holding your life a particular way, holding an energy or an experience in your life a particular way, just like an addiction. An addiction's just an energetic that's been fed over and over and over through routine and through reaction and through energetics. So when you start to break that pattern, you have the opportunity to become aware of how insidious the mind is and how easy it is to get hooked by thoughts, by feelings, by cravings, by memories, how easy it is to get hooked and your attention goes right back into that behavior or right back into that old memory. And our power comes back to us by learning to break those cycles and to just stop it. It's as simple as realizing, oh, my God, I'm going there again. I've got to shift my attention. I've got to stop feeding this. And that's really the foundation of what, from my point of view, that's the greatest gift that 12-step meetings, one of the greatest gifts that 12-step meetings offers, is rather than doing battle with the energy of the loop of an addictive, powerful, craving process, is that you shift your attention away from trying to white-knuckle it, and you put your attention in that room for an hour. I don't care if you believe anything you hear in that room. You are shifting your attention away from the cycle of feeding that craving, and you begin to bleed the energy out of those old stories and out of those old patterns. And over time, a memory can come up, or what would have triggered you to want to go drink or get high, that can come up, but there's no energy to it anymore.
Right.
You've literally
shifted
that relationship.
It's so important about the idea of giving something energy and what that means. Some people understand that. Some people haven't grasped that concept yet. And I know for myself, this, I think it was just July, I had gone back to the place that I used to live in the 70s, and I had my list. I was going to go to these places, visit all the old places, go to the cemeteries, eat all this food. This was all that I thought was important. Well, it was so interesting because I am in a different place now. And when I got there, we only did like 3 or 4 things. And I said, this just doesn't have the energy. I don't need to eat those foods. I'm not interested. And those other places, it's nice, take a picture, great, I'm on. We went to certain places and I was there like 5 seconds, and my daughter was driving and she would get out of the car. I said, okay, I'm done. We can go. She says, I didn't even get out of the car yet. I said, but I just noticed that nothing of this past has energy anymore because I'm not feeding it. And it was just so incredibly easy. And even after I returned, family members had said, well, I got to hear what happened. I says, nothing happened. No drama. Bye. And that was it. And it was such a welcoming change. It was just, I'm just not buying that. I'm just not buying into any of that, or I'm just not interested in any of that. And how hard and how long that took me the last 10 years, or maybe you could say it took my last 60, but you can get there. So same thing with yours. It took years, and mine took years. It may take you years. It may take you months or days, but a start, as you said, get up, stand up, make a move, That old idea, the old idea of chop wood, carry water. Do it every day.
Absolutely. Well, again, from my experience, we are such creatures of habit that if we're not moving forward in our life, we will gravitate back toward what we know.
Yeah.
And if we're really trying to evolve or grow or heal beyond the experience that we've been living, we're going to have to continue to move forward and to own our choices and our experiences and to develop a sense of being the witness to your own life, develop the sense of owning and being conscious of the choices and the thoughts that I'm giving my attention to, you know, day in and day out, moment to moment. Not in an obsessive way, just as an awake, aware human being. And if we don't practice that, if we don't develop a practice for ourselves that serves us in our healing and our growth and in our moving on and moving beyond the energetics that we were literally suffering from, if we don't develop that practice and live with that practice, we will gravitate back into what was familiar to us because we have an appetite for what's familiar to us. You know, humans develop energetic appetites for particular emotions. We develop energetic appetites for particular thoughts. You know, rageaholics, people that get angry all the time, they literally are feeding on the energy of that anger without any awareness whatsoever. People, a lot of people that are sad or real dramatic or histrionic, they're feeding on the energy of those emotions with no awareness at all. So it's just such an interesting, amazing, powerful realization to even consider the fact that each one of us holds the ability and in fact is creating what we're experiencing on a day-to-day basis. We may not be creating what's happening in the external world around us, but we are absolutely creating what we are experiencing on the inside as reactions and responses to what's going on around us. So when you get really clean, when you really clear yourself, when you shed all the skins of suffering and fear and judgment and you do the work on yourself, you'll realize that you can, for instance, you could be a cocaine addict and you could walk into a bathroom in a bar somewhere and there's somebody with coke dumped all over the back of, all over the counter. And if you hadn't done the work on yourself, you freak out. If you have done the work and you stayed centered and you've kept moving forward, you can look at it and there's no charge. There's nothing.
Right.
You know, it's like running into, I used to say this when I was teaching, working with people, that, you know, when I got divorced from my first wife years ago, it took me years to get to the point that if her name came up in a conversation, I didn't have a big energetic reaction on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no awareness that that's what that was until I had gotten deep into my own personal journey, my own healing work, and the things that I've done that are all in the book. But, you know, anything that we get deeply enmeshed in and deeply involved in our life becomes a relationship. And an addiction to a substance or to a behavior is literally a relationship. We've created a relationship with that way of being. We created a relationship with that substance. Well, when you divorce that relationship, it takes time to unravel it. It takes time to let it go, you know. And so it really serves to learn to, you will learn patience with yourself if you truly step into a healing path in your life. You'll develop patience with yourself because there's no other way around it.
Right. You know, and I would always say to, I think I had Don Miguel Ruiz Jr. on the show, and it was so funny. I had said to him when I was redoing my website, I had worked so much recently on myself, and then I was writing out my biography or something for it. But anyway, you know, we always like to list stuff and put things down. Well, this time, I had sat with my designer, and I probably sat there with a blank piece of paper, I'll tell you, a good 6 months, because I was determined to put something down, and all I came up with was two words, I am, and there was nothing else there, you know, because all of those labels and all of that other stories just wasn't important anymore, and it didn't serve me, it didn't have any purpose, it didn't, it doesn't have you better or worse than anyone else, there's no judgment, there's no nothing, you just are, and, you know, that sat for a good 6 months, so he and I had a good laugh at that, you know what I mean, that's where I think eventually you will become, and you will, that's, I found it was a good turning point for me to say, you know, I'm done with all that. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and people can get there.
Yeah, absolutely you can. And it's funny because look at how you had that realization. It's not
right.
Like you were saying, where am I in my life today? and you're trying to focus on it, it sneaks up on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like we realize, oh, my God, this just happened, and I had no reaction to it. That,
right.
Isn't that interesting? So, you know, the progress that we make and the changes that occur and the, just this journey of living a life that's intentional and that's conscious and that you have taken true responsibility for yourself in your life, the awarenesses that come out of it are always, it's really amusing to me. You know, and Michael is, I call him Michael, Miguel Jr., he's a great guy. He's just a great guy.
Well, and you know, also you talk in your book about grounding and with nature, and I think that's so vitally important. And I know that I use that a lot on my journey, and you did too in your book, because I was, you know, if the day was really crummy, I would have my cell phone and I'd go outside and I'd take a picture of a lizard or a dragonfly or, you know, the shadow of a fern or all of these crazy things. And I think I have thousands of pictures like that. My daughter one day said to me, "You are so random. What is up with this?" And I, you know, and I sat back with that for a while. I could tell you, I sat with that for at least 2 years. I'm random, you know, and I kept thinking what she was talking about and everything. And finally, I just said, you know, one day when I was clicking a picture, I just said, gosh, this life is so amazing. And it took me years to come to that answer. But you also had that same thing. And I think that is really something that's a great start. When you feel like your work is terrible or your life is terrible or your family is blah, 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 and your kids, been there, done that, I'm sure you too, you know, start with something random. Go outside and, you know, oh, doesn't that rock look cool? Take a picture. You know, doesn't that tree look cool? Take a picture. Eventually, something will show up, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and that connection, the grounding and the connection back to the earth again, is something that culturally we've totally lost. You know, and from a health perspective, especially in the work that you do, our relationship to this earth is our physical body. We are an expression of the earth. You know, our physical body comes from the earth. It doesn't magically appear. And we are irrevocably connected to the body of the earth and the cycles of life and the wind and the rain and the dirt and the sun and all the other expressions of life that are here. We are an aspect of the fabric of this creation, and we humans have been telling ourselves a story for some time now that we're the top of the food chain and we're special and we're separate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just insane. It's not true. You know, and as a result, the way our cultures have evolved, we have lived with such an absolute disregard for life and the integrity of our environment and such a disregard for the quality of what we eat as food and what we drink. You know, and we're seeing massive epidemics today that are just really getting started, you know, of 100 million people in the United States with autoimmune diseases. And it's directly related to the chemicals that we have put in the food supply and in the water and in the air. And it's just on, and it's all, you know, I love to go into the big picture, and the truth is the big picture is an exact mirror image of each of us as individuals. And we as individuals are a mirror image of the big picture. That if we want to reclaim integrity in our life and we want to reclaim integrity with ourselves, we have to break it down to the most fundamental aspects of the choices that we make and the habits that we develop and that we live, you know, and the food that we eat and the things that we drink and how we place our feet on the earth when we walk. And just, it's all the little things that will make the big changes. There is no big change that's going to change all the little things. It's always, from my experience, the great changes in life and in consciousness happen from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Absolutely. You know, we always say, you know, there's going to be changes, and it's just you have to decide what you're willing to accept. Are you willing to accept that, yes or no? Are you willing to accept that you're a drunk? Are you willing to accept that you're depression? Are you willing to accept that you have cancer? Are you going to be sticking all these labels all over yourself, you know? And are you going to believe that? I mean, that is a profound thing I've found with end of life. People would say to me, but I am a gay old woman alone. And I'm going, really? I just knew you as Barbara, or I just knew you as Jane, or I just knew you as Lisa, or a man that might say, you know, I am, oh, well, I was just a terrible, I'm violent, I'm an abuser, I'm this, I'm that. And it's like, really? I didn't know you by that, you know? Because we can always need to look inside that everybody does have potential. And I think that's really important to drive home at this last few minutes, is that everybody has the potential to say what you're willing to accept and what you're not willing to accept, and to say that you have a choice. And choice is paramount.
Well, it's always, everything is always a choice. Everything. And we don't own that. Because that's not the legacy that we've inherited, and I've certainly found that to be the truth of life. And you know, again, I'll say what I said early on in the spirit recovery work, and in this book, in our spirit recovery medicine bag book, each one of us is an expression of the one that created us. We're each one of us is a unique expression of God, if you want to use that word, or creator. I don't care what language you use. And each one of us is perfect as an aspect of the whole. And each one of us is worthy of living from a deep abiding faith in ourself. And it's that loss of faith and connection to ourself that fuels all of the other craziness that we deal with, you know, on the surface level on down.
Right.
These addictions, all these aspects of suffering, from my experience and point of view, all these manifestations of suffering can only survive by the nature of how we have abandoned faith in ourselves for the sake of chasing what the world tells us we must do to be good enough. And it's just completely backwards.
You know, and as I always say, kick the labels to the curb one at a time. You know, just be done with them. Just pick one for a week, you know, pick one for a month. If it takes you 4 or 5 years, pick a label and kick everything around it to the curb and be done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lee, we have sped right through this hour. I'd like to thank you so much for being our guest. If you could share with the listeners about the work you're doing, your website, and about your book, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, I have a recovery healing program in Nashville called the Integrative Life Center. It's integrativelifecenter.com, and it is truly a unique, very cool, very real-world-oriented recovery treatment program. We deal with just about anything that's plaguing a human, you know, from eating disorders to addictions, the whole realm. So please check out the Integrative Life Center if you have an interest in that. And spiritrecovery.com is our website. The name of the book is The Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag. It's out on HCI Books, so it's available at your local bookstore. If you have a local bookstore, please order it from your local bookstore and support that bookstore. You know, when we lead journeys, we do workshops, we participate in sweat lodges and ceremonies, you know, all the time, from California to Tennessee and Peru to Mexico. I'm also on Facebook. It's Lee Richard McCormick, and Spirit Recovery has a Facebook page if you do the Facebook thing. And you can email me through spiritrecovery.com. You know, and that's it. We're living in an amazing time. And it really is. Every train wreck that happens in somebody's life is an invitation to pay attention.
Absolutely.
And it's just up to us how we want to respond.
And it doesn't matter how long you sit in the muck, you can always get up. It doesn't matter if you've been there decades or not, or days, you can always get up. And I think that everybody has hope until that last breath you take, so please do pay attention to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Lee, thank you so much.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful to have you with us. So, I mean, we just kept going and going. We didn't even take a breath.
Well, maybe one of these days I'll get to New Orleans and we can go eat a beignet and drink some of that chicory coffee.
Oh, no, I think I'm going to come your way. I'm looking for another place to locate. Hey, you never know. I might show up on your doorstep.
Well, come check out Nashville. Nashville is a great town.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
If you'd like more information about the book that we've spoken about today, it is Spirit Recovery Medicine Bag, A Transformational Guide for Living Happy, Joyous, and Free with Lee McCormick. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page. It's been an absolute pleasure to be with you, and please do remember, it doesn't matter if you're stuck or not, you can always get up. And if you need help, ask. Ask Lee. Ask myself. Send me an email. My email is drj.j@outofthebox.com. Please ask for help. There is a lot of help out there. And we can always just say, you know, how about this? And just remember, all of those tips are a hand reaching out to you. So please do accept it. Thank you, and until tomorrow, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher on Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio, and thank you.